So I'm here today at the CAP conference in Saskatoon. That's a Canadian Association of Physicists conference. And I'm here with Kelsey. And how did I say your last name?
Ortiz.
Yeah. Thank you. And so, Kelsey, what's your current role? What do you do?
Yeah, so I am a physics PhD student.
Okay.
Just finished up my fourth year, going into my fifth year now. At the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
Right.
And I'm working under Paul Quiot.
Okay.
We do quantum information science, experimental quantum info.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I saw your talk today, and I would love it if you could explain a little bit about what was happening there.
Sure.
I found it fascinating.
Yeah, so I can give a rough overview. Essentially, my PhD work is on a project called SEEK, which stands for Space Entanglement and Annealing Quantum Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what it is it's a small, compact polarization entanglement source.
Yes.
That is outside of the International Space Station right now.
Right, so it's mounted physically, when you say outside, mounted on the outside of it.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
I just find that fascinating. Okay, cool, yeah.
Yeah, and so essentially what we wanted to do with that project was get a foot in the door for kind of this quantum space world that is happening right now, in that people are starting to put quantum payloads in space and mm-hmm. work towards building a future quantum network.
Okay.
Particularly, other countries have already distributed entanglement and photons between satellites and ground, and the U.S. hasn't had a project like that. And
okay.
So SEEK was kind of an initial stepping stone to kind of get our foot in the door, at least for the U.S., into actually sending a entanglement source and quantum payload into space.
Right. Okay. And then maybe now I'm thinking, just for the lay audience, why is this useful? Right. You explain it. I mean, I can take a shot at it. It's like people say communicating, and you can encrypt messaging, for example. So it can't be broken or somebody to eavesdrop or find the message. But can you explain a little bit how that works and how the quantum side of that?
Sure, yeah. So essentially you're asking me like what the benefit of a quantum network.
Right,
like
that's a good way to put it, yeah.
And essentially there are different applications for it. One of them is security protocols like quantum key distribution, which you might have been thinking about, where it's a method to share secret keys using quantum particles,
right,
which is inherently more secure because when you measure a quantum particle, you're actually changing the state of it.
Right.
Versus classical systems, you can change this, measure it, and it doesn't actually change the state of it.
Okay.
And so you can have in a classical system, you can have an eavesdropper mm-hmm. that meddles with your key that you're sending, and you wouldn't really know.
Right.
But for quantum mechanics, when an eavesdropper does make a measurement on your system,
yeah.
you will inherently know because it's changing the state of those quantum particles.
Of those quantum particles. And in your experiment, the quantum particle is a photon, right?
Correct.
It's light,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
And then, now, another thing I found fascinating about it, your experiment, so you're sending messages up to a satellite and maybe back again, like, are you? And then another part of it I realize is that if it's a true sort of quantum, let's say, could be properly encrypted message, it has to be entangled well, I guess, mm-hmm. properly entangled, let's say. And you have a measurement that you were saying with regards to Bell's, what is it called?
Bell's inequality
that can tell you if it was properly entangled or not. And it was really fascinating to find out that a lot of the times it is, but sometimes it isn't. And that's for real world problems like temperature fluctuations in the equipment mm-hmm. and other things that introduce errors. So I found that really fascinating. And obviously you're probably trying to work on it. So hopefully almost all the time it's going to be correctly operating. But maybe if you could explain that a little bit more, that territory.
Yeah. So let me jump back to, I mentioned one application of sending these secret keys, but another application in the future would be to connect quantum computers. So right now people are working on quantum computers, and eventually they're going to need to be connected with each other.
Right.
And similar to your classical network, like on your phone, you're going to need a quantum network to distribute that quantum information. But the problem with quantum information is that it can't be repeated Because once you make a measurement on your photon, it gets destroyed, right?
Right, yeah.
Unlike a classical signal where you can use amplifiers.
Right.
And send it for farther distances. So the problem is you need a quantum repeater.
Oh, okay.
And for a quantum repeater, entanglement is the basis for a future quantum repeater.
Right.
You'll use entanglement in order to do something called entanglement swapping.
Yeah.
Which maybe I won't get into, but yeah. It's basically... the protocol for having that repeater, and
right.
That's why it's important.
Right, and I guess swapping, it's almost like tag team. Like,
yes.
the next stretch of the sending
yes.
is also entangled, I guess
yeah.
is what
so
you're saying.
Yeah, so you're having, like, two pairs of photons that are entangled, and you're doing an entanglement swap, so you're kind of sending, you're entangling the other photons, and so you're sending that quantum information via that way.
Right.
By doing this entanglement swap. And so where C comes in is that, okay, it is the fundamental piece that you need for a quantum repeater
mm-hmm.
in that it's an entanglement source in space.
Right. Okay.
With Seek, we're not actually distributing photons to Earth yet.
Okay.
All the photons are held within the payload.
Right. So, right, then that's the object on the space station.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
But the goal would be to eventually distribute photons to the Earth system and then potentially try to demonstrate in entanglement swapping.
Right. And photons that are... entangled, I guess. Do
yes.
I have that right? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's lots of photons around. We're being bathed
yeah, yeah,
in them,
yeah.
right? But
yeah.
but these are special because they're kind of treated in a sense.
Yes, exactly.
And I guess another thing, maybe, again, to help maybe a lay person with this is, like, the message could be something simple that you're encrypting. It could be, like, mm-hmm. let's say an email or someone is just saying, hello,
mm-hmm.
The Vancouver Canucks beat Seattle 4-2 or something like that.
Okay.
That could be the message, maybe, right? But it would be encrypted, so no one could see that message, say,
yeah,
somehow
so
with this,
if
right?
you're encrypting it with quantum key distribution, then it's secure against an eavesdropper.
Right.
A potential...
somewhere between A and B and the message being sent.
Correct.
No one could grab it
yeah.
or something, right?
Yeah.
yeah, okay. Oh, and I guess all the reason I brought that up is some people might... think that it I mean, of course, often it would be top secret stuff or whatever, but even basic anybody's message could be encrypted too in the future.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I'll say another thing is, like, that current encryption right now, people believe a quantum computer is going to be able to break that kind of encryption protocol that we currently use,
right?
And so then, at that point, you need a quantum secure encryption protocol, which is where this also comes in.
Right.
And it'll be not only classically secure, but now you have something that's also quantum secure.
Right.
Once the people develop quantum computers, and that happens.
Right. So then, yeah, then what we're doing now wouldn't be safe, security-wise. So, okay. Okay, and I think that's wonderful for kind of what you're up to right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then... just how about your educational background? Where did you, maybe even starting from high school or something, or like, and then what was your educational career?
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in Pennsylvania
mm-hmm.
and went to high school out there in public high school. I was not the best student, actually, from the get-go. I was not interested in school.
Yeah.
I come from immigrant parents.
Yes.
They were not familiar with the school system. I didn't even know what an SAT was until literally probably my senior year.
Right.
So... was not interested in school, but then at some point, I think I started reading books and
yeah.
reading, like, pop sci
okay.
physics books, and
yes.
I got interested in this, and I was like, you know what? This stuff is actually really cool. And so going into undergrad, I was actually thinking of going into medicine.
Yes.
But I decided I'm still kind of interested in physics, so let me do pre-med and then also physics on top of that, and then go on to take my MCATs, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But along the way, I just fell in love with physics and kind of threw the medicine track out the window.
Yeah.
But in undergrad, I went to Westchester University.
Okay.
It's 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
It's like a medium-sized state school.
Right.
The physics department was a hallway long, so not a big department,
wow.
but a close-knit community. And there I started doing a little bit of research and realized this is what I like to do, and I didn't want it to be over after undergrad,
right.
essentially. So that's when I started applying to grad schools and ended up at U of I.
Okay. Oh, is that University of Illinois then?
Yes.
And Urbana-Champaign,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big school, isn't it?
Yes. It's
yeah.
actually got one of the biggest physics programs, I would say.
Oh, really? Okay.
In the country. So I went from a little like department, physics department, to a very large physics department, which was interesting transition, but I've loved it. U of I is a great school, and the program there is great.
Even though the town's kind of small, it's sort of like a small town. I actually had a short course there one summer and I quite enjoyed myself.
I've warmed up to the town for sure.
And I guess my last question is there anything from your childhood, like when you were a kid, like a characteristic of yours, or maybe an anecdote, it could be from elementary school, junior high, somewhere, that you still see in yourself today, like in terms of, I don't know, maybe you had a certain curiosity or stuff you like to do that somehow is still in your being, and you can see it in your adult self, what you're doing now in this school?
That's a really good question. I think I will say it's kind of being stubborn in that I find something interesting, and even if people are telling me, why are you doing that? Like, what kind of career path are you going to have in that? Like, kind of the naysayers, I stick with it. I make a decision, and I'm like, this is what I like to do, and I follow it.
Okay.
And I've always kind of done that. I would say even in high school, when I wasn't interested in school, I was not interested in school, but as soon as I gained that interest, I was in it.
You're with it. And do you have an anecdote, like when you were little, when you were like that? Like, I don't know, it could be elementary or like your, I guess your example is kind of like from high school.
Yeah.
But do you have a specific thing, one you can think of that was like that? Like,
I don't think I have one from like elementary school per se, but I would say
maybe high school. Yeah.
In high school, I was mostly an athlete. I was just playing soccer, and that's kind of what I was like known for, and not interested in school at all. And then when I started getting interested in school, a lot of my friends were like, why physics? Like, what is this nerdy stuff? But I was like, I find it interesting, like, I don't care what you say.
There you go, that is an example, right? Like, that could be considered a peer pressure example or something. I mean, not that people were doing it in a rude way or anything, probably just wondering,
right?
But you stuck with it, so. Okay, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.